You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
I got a spam call from Cambridge, Massachusetts. I feel like I should probably answer, right?
I don't think that's a spam call. I think that's something. I don't think spam calls originate from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Cambridge, Massachusetts, right? This might be Harvard calling me, letting me know I got in finally.
It's actually it's not a bad idea. Like, maybe like spam calls should start originating from places that you wouldn't assume, right? Mm-hmm. Like if someone from mm-hmm. Oxford called you, yeah. Like you wouldn't be
Oxford,
like,
Mississippi,
oh,
Mississippi,
right?
Mississippi, yeah. Or like Paris, Kentucky, Rome.
Can that be a concept for a movie where like you apply to Harvard and you never heard back and you just figured you never got in, and then like 20 years later they find out that there was like an error in the mailing system and actually you did get into Harvard.
Wow.
And so now this guy who life fell apart and didn't end up going to Harvard and became like a blacksmith or something like that, now he's got his second chance at getting an Ivy League Ooh. Education.
And then he goes to Harvard as like a 40-year-old, graduates, yes. ends up with crippling debt. Turns out he made more money learning a trade than getting
that's,
a business
no,
degree
but that's,
from Harvard.
That's what he figures out at the end of the movie, is that Harvard wasn't something that was gonna like make him into who he should have been or whatever.
Right.
Like he always had everything going for him. He didn't need to do that. I'm gonna write this one down.
Harvard
man.
Were the
and halfway through the movie.
The
halfway through the movie. Everyone starts murdering each other.
Juju.
Chris Cody, I see you.
My guy.
I mean, what's the closest you've actually come, because you talk about movies so much and you deal with bad movies so often. What's the closest you've actually come to actually pitching a movie to a movie studio? And like maybe texting Dan, hey, can you forward this to Adam McKay in case maybe this is a decent idea?
Okay, so I'm not going to... let's just go pre-Metal Arc, right? Because there are things always in the air, boys. We're always
there
working.
Are things cooking like, right now. You've just asked him a question, and he's got intellectual property. Amin's got plenty of ideas.
But I did write a script when I was in college, like a full-length feature script. It was about you know how like Jesus was crucified with two thieves who were also on trial that day. And so, like, I remember asking all my Christian friends, like, yo, what's their story? And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, why? You know, we know why Jesus was getting crucified. Why were they getting crucified? They were thieves. What'd they steal? Mm-hmm. Like, so I wrote a whole backstory for these two guys. And I made it so that they were these two kind of bumbling idiots that, you know, every scheme they had went wrong. And I made it so that every scheme they had that went wrong, it turns out indirectly, it was Jesus's fault, right? So there's no fish in the market. They're gonna go price gouge with some fish that they got, these little sardines or whatever, go to the market. Everyone's got fish. What happened? This Jesus guy came by and there was fish everywhere. And so everywhere they go, they try to do something and it's thwarted indirectly, unintentionally by Jesus. So they come to the conclusion, we gotta kill this Jesus guy. There you go, Chris Cody. Murder.
You just gave away all the goods for
you
free.
You did.
Though.
You really did. But he's got plenty of ideas where those came from. And the answer to your question is, Amin has a lot of projects in the works. He is forever a hustler. And before he is done, I think we can guarantee with certainty Amin will have made a movie, correct?
Yeah, it may be cinephobe eligible by the time I'm, like the universe is done with me. But I'm I want to say I'm confident that I'm going to get at least one thing made in my life.
I love that the spirit of Meadowlark was on display this weekend as I drove around. You're doing satellite radio. You're waking up West Coast experts who don't want to be up that early. And the only experience I have with Amin El Hassan representing Meadowlark Media outside of Meadowlark Media is turning on my radio and hearing him clearly not listening to what it is that the guest was saying and getting lost in his train of thought. And as he stammers his way into his question, the guest says, Amin, you weren't listening. And Amin then has to cop to being distracted. This is Amin El Hassan, Meadowlark Media, basketball insider to the Globe. This is how you represented the one time I was listening to you. Yeah. You weren't listening to the person who was talking.
You must have felt so proud because it was inadvertently, by the way. I wasn't trying to do show shtick. Like, I literally had a question that while I was waiting for Marcus Thompson of The Athletic, who was given the answer, to finish his answer, I was like, well, let me check Instagram real quick. And in the middle of that, like, his question
and his answer ended. He stopped talking. You weren't expecting him to stop talking there.
Yeah. And so I paused because I made it seem like I was trying to really frame this delicately worded question. And instead, it was because I completely forgot what we were talking about and what I was going to ask about. And Marcus had, earlier in the interview, because Zach pointed out that I don't listen. Marcus said, I know that's true because I went to lunch with Amin the other day, and while we're eating, I kept piling things onto his tray and he didn't notice. And it's true. It's like I'm eating and then I look up and all of a sudden I have like this garbage island on my tray. He'd just been like grabbing things off of other people's trays and just putting them on my tray, and I'm not paying attention the whole time.
Everyone has in live radio expressions that they use in order to fill the time from when you started the question to when you actually remember the question. The first go-to move is you replace, you rename the guest. You say, Marcus Thompson, The Athletic, covers
the
Golden State
Warriors. Did you say Sedano? Did you say Sedano does this? That it's clear he's not listening, so he just resets the guest?
Sedano does these resets where it's like, you know instantly, oh, he wasn't listening at all.
Yeah. and you're trying to remember. You say, oh, it does a great job covering the Golden State Warriors.
Yep.
You can find him on Twitter at, I think his like, at Thompson Scar. Like, you just start whatever you can, like, recite off the top of your head to fill time.
So it's not silence.
And then you start doing, like, the, like, I don't know if you noticed, whenever Chris Mad Dog Russo is trying to look for something, he'll say, like, and the scenario where, like, he, like, uses the very vague expressions. Those are filler to try and get to what was the thing that I was gonna ask him about. I've done those before.
Stephen A. Smith says, and what have you? He pauses, he'll throw and whatnot and what have you. It's just a bridge to his next thoughts.
Everyone's got one of those. Amin, I will ask you, though, because I think of this all the time, because I also do the random check of Instagram. Has that ever been fruitful? Have you ever checked Instagram and gone, boy, those four stories that I looked at in the last 30 seconds were well worth my time?
So someone hasn't been listening to Cinephobe.
What's Cinephobe?
Oh, Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach Harper and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes, try to ascertain whether or not they were accurately rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe is produced by Anthony Mays. It appears on the Meadowlark Media Levitard and Friends Network. And this month is Matthew McConaughey month. And we had a special guest coming up for this week's episode that's coming out on Thursday, Mike Ryan. That's right, the same numbskull who thinks that Steph Curry doesn't show up in the finals. He joined us as we reviewed the 2004 movie Two for the Money, starring Al Pacino and Matthew McConaughey.
You're never more alive than when they take those chips away.
No, that was a line, but the line I liked that I actually used in my analysis of Game 4, when Steph Curry hit that shot and he starts cussing out the crowd, was that sound you hear is the sound of 20,000 assholes shrinking to the size of a decimal point. Al Pacino said that about, like, why gambleholics love gambling and they love losing because it makes their assholes shrink up to the size of a decimal point.
Did the Curry shouting at the crowd remind you of Tim Duncan scaring you out of the arena when you were with the Phoenix Suns and he made a three that you dared him to take and then he just shouted? All he did was send the game into overtime, but Amin El Hassan wanted to run in the parking lot because he was scared of Tim Duncan's rage.
Series over. Game one, series over. Duncan, and then the other one was when This was in 92, I want to say. Bulls and Knicks. Jordan goes up and Charles Oakley tries to just lay him out. A flagrant 7 foul by today's parlance, right? Jordan makes a shot, and as Charles Oakley collapses, Jordan stands over him and basically cusses him out. Don't you ever in your life try to da-da-da, and like, and he's flexing, and he's as angry as I've ever seen Michael Jordan. Those were the two things I thought of when I saw Steph. Like, I'm like, oh my God, he's upset. Like, I didn't know, and like Tim Duncan, I guess, I didn't know he could get upset.
Oh, but Amin, that's one of the greatest things, right? People were surprised that Michael Jordan was hissing anger at his Hall of Fame speech. It is one of the greatest things when one of the greatest takes umbrage and indignance at the idea that you would not respect how great he is. Like, it is, it's what you're articulating is really cool, because it's a level that Steph Curry, beyond just changing the game, you're articulating something in the history of the sport. There have been three dudes, all of them all-time great, who scare you when they get angry, when you've upset, when you've disrespected their ego, and their response is off.
Yes. Yes, I mean, look, again, I think my thing was, I didn't know, at least with Jordan, I had an inkling he could get that bad. With Duncan and Curry, I thought they never got mad. I thought they were always the calm, fun-loving kind or whatever. I do want to transition a little bit here. I was listening to you guys last week, and you talk about recognizing NFL players. And everyone made fun of Whittingham for saying that Josh Allen, would you recognize him? Oh, of course I would, of course I would. Maybe Josh Allen's a bad example, Witty, but a lot of these names that everyone claims to recognize, I dare you. You know what we should do? We should go into their social media, pull out nondescript pictures, them with t-shirts on, them at the beach, not anything to do with football around other football people, just kind of like with the family or whatever. And if I show you those pictures, would you be able to identify them? Even better, if I showed you those pictures with other pictures of true random people who aren't in the NFL, would you be able to say that guy's an NFL player?
All right, let's do this
quiz. But you said it yourself at the beginning. It was a bad example. We all agree this would be a fun game to play, but it was a bad example.
You guys said quarterbacks. I submit to you that there's some quarterbacks that aren't like, someone said Case Keenum, and Michael, oh, Case Keenum, of course I would know what he looks like. I don't know. If Case Keenum walked in wearing a regular t-shirt.
No, that one's ridiculous. That's Mike Ryan being myopic about his own. Yeah. Nobody would recognize Case Keenum if they walked into a place. That's absurd. There are plenty of stops between Josh Allen and Case Keenum on guy who would walk in to your barber shop and you might not know who he is. I don't think the line is Josh Allen, but it might be for you as a basketball guy. I mean, you might not know what Josh Allen looks like.
So here's a name for you. Let me throw it to Jessica. Jessica, if Le'Veon Bell walked in
well, he played for the shorts, Steelers, and I've met.
I know. That's why.
1,000% I would know what Le'Veon Bell.
Why would I throw it to you if it wasn't, if I didn't know he played for the Steelers? Oh, man. Why are you woman-splaining to me or football-splaining to me?
Finish your point.
If Le'Veon Bell walked in with just like a tank top and some board shorts and like flip-flops. And a hat turned backwards.
I think we would all recognize Le'Veon Bell, but I think I would not
recognize
him.
He's a skill position player.
He'd be smaller than you imagine.
At one point, like on the cover of Sports Illustrated, like his face
with
was
a helmet
everywhere.
On.
No, he wasn't. He was on a cover with like a dice thing when he went to the Jets without
a
helmet.
It's a bad example. Jessica's gonna know on her own team. She's gonna know somebody who's being talked about as the greatest and most patient of running backs and versatility
so
threats.
Patient.
I wanted to talk to Jessica for a second because you guys mentioned Mike Ryan a couple of times during this segment, and Mike Ryan became, for three annoying days, the biggest advocate that there was in college baseball right up until the University of Miami lost, and he fled the premises as a fraud, counterfeit, and ashamed. Jessica, yesterday, Tennessee, all I've heard, basically my college baseball information this entire year is just Tennessee is totally overwhelming. Tennessee is going to crush everybody. Tennessee is in a regional and they are -8.5 runs because good God, Tennessee is good. And now Notre Dame comes in yesterday and knocks out Tennessee with a right to the College World Series on the line. And all of a sudden, Jessica Smetana is a huge college baseball fan.
I mean, Notre Dame baseball has just been utterly disrespected in this postseason. They should have been a host. They let Miami host. Miami didn't make it out of their own regional. Notre Dame had to go to Georgia, won that, and then play against the number one seeded team, the number one team in the country, Tennessee, who's only lost 8 games this season, set a record. They had 56-8, I believe, was their record for the season. Might have been 57-8. And they kicked Tennessee's ass over 3 games. I mean, Tennessee kind of kicked their ass in the second game, but they kicked Tennessee's ass at home. That's why it's a series, because you got to win 2, Dan, best of 3. And now Notre Dame is going to Omaha for the College World Series for the first time in 20 years. Our lads, our Notre Dame Fighting Irish lads, Dan, we made it farther than Miami could ever dream of. And you know what?
Not ever dream
I didn't of brag about it Miami's, until after they won against the really good team. Just in case they lost, I didn't mention it. Yeah. But I didn't even brag about it. It was just an exciting weekend.
But you wore your Notre Dame gear in here today. All of a sudden, you're a college baseball fan, but you're a front runner. You weren't a Notre Dame fan until about the 7th inning of yesterday.
Baseball is such a great sport, by the way. I love baseball. All weekend, I was just
a seam head. Exactly.
A seam head. I was all weekend.
Ping of the bat. Yeah.
Nothing like the ping of the bat, Billy Gill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.